Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, March 20th, 2020. We'll start today's reading on the front page with Coronavirus, the Economy. On the front lines, remote work, not for these Central Illinois employees, Decatur. Tyler McLean has many jobs at Moequa Foods, an independent grocery store on South Main Street in Moequa. His work hours have gotten longer despite the fear of coronavirus. It is what it is, he said. I can't work remotely and cut beef and wrap it at the same time. While many are working remotely because of the COVID-19 pandemic, not everyone has that luxury, especially in the service economy, healthcare, and public safety. Employees are still on the job performing in-demand roles. We've been nuts, said Dale Coley, who runs Dale South Lake Pharmacy in South Shores and Coley's Corner Drug in Forsyth, as we expected to be. The intense interest means his staff has to be prepared. They wear gloves and encourage people to avoid coming in. They're ready for even more interest. We're on the front lines, he said, adding later, the drive-through will be busier once Macon County gets a diagnosis. Changes are also happening in law enforcement, which, by the very nature of the job, means interacting with the public. We've got to wipe down our work area and stuff like that with Clorox wipes and wash our hands and use hand sanitizer a lot more than normal, said Chris Copeland, a detective sergeant with the Decatur Police Department. We wipe down at the beginning of the shift and the end of the shift in the vehicles we drive, squad cars and cars. We wipe the steering wheel and handles. We do that now, the first time we use it and the last time we use it. Copeland said policing is never going to be an at-arm's-length profession, but officers are doing what they can to cut down the risk of virus transmission. He said the Thin Blue Line and its public service would suffer greatly if coronavirus got a hold in the department. If it got to the point where 10 or 11 or 15 or 20 of us get sick, that is a huge blow, he added. Copeland, who has been in law enforcement for 23 years, said dealing with the virus and its changes to everyday life is a unique experience. The closest thing I can recall to it, not necessarily with the specifics, but the general atmosphere, was after the 9/11 attacks, he said. In the first couple of weeks after 9/11, there was that atmosphere of uncertainty with ever-evolving protocols and policies and things of that nature. In my memory, for me, it's the closest thing I've seen to what's going on now. Firefighters have limited their exposure to the public as well. We are restricted like everyone else, said Decatur Fire Captain David Gagnon. We are keeping up with essential services as the city manager warrants, like inspections such as liquor licenses. Fire department administered classes such as CPR, school demonstrations, and fire extinguisher classes have all been canceled. Firefighters respond to calls, but they have kept their distances as far from the public as possible. They've tried to separate themselves from each other as well. Other crews can't visit the firehouses as they have in the past. The staff has been conducting training through online classes. Governor J.B. Pritzker ordered restaurants and bars to close in an effort to limit the coronavirus spread. Schools were also suspended and events with large crowds were banned. Businesses have sent workers home and established new cleaning routines. Coley said their adjustments include cleaning counters more often and eliminating contact with delivery drivers so that the customers don't have to worry about contact with the outside people, Coley said. We emphasize with staff to avoid all touching. That is safety for our employees, too. Coley recommends his staff take care of their health by taking vitamins, eating healthy, and getting plenty of sleep. The employees are educated to change their clothes when they get home. And be sure you are washing your hands, he said. The neighborhood pharmacy already has safety features in place. Coley's counter is 3 feet wide, ensuring a safe distance, but we can't be 100% sure, Coley said, about spreading germs. Since the world has been affected by the coronavirus, Coley expects habits will shift, People started realizing there was an issue, he said, and their behaviors have changed. Free flu shots are still available at Coley's and Forsyth while supplies last. Next year, I think more people will get them, Coley said. There are some positive outcomes to come out of this. Back in Mowikwa Foods, the small-town grocery store is running low on food and supplies like the bigger chain stores. The crew is doing their best to restock what they are getting on a daily basis, but they must also take care of themselves as well as customers. We wipe down the carts at the top of the hour and sanitize everything, McLean said. If it moves or people touch it, we clean it. McLean and his co-workers have worked extra hours and even relied on volunteers to help keep up with the demand. Everybody works together, he said. We have a great community. And there's a picture with this showing pharmacist Erica Coley working on orders as customers, go through the drive-through on Thursday at Dale's South Lake Pharmacy and Coley's Corner Drugs in Decatur. And the front page picture shows Tex, Jessica Shiro, and Peyton Pfeiffer working on orders Thursday at Dale South Lake Pharmacy. The coronavirus pandemic has caused businesses to adjust to new schedules and expectations. And inside the paper on A3, Millikan University moves to online classes. Mount Zion schools prepare for continued school closures. And lists of Central Illinois resources and ways to help will come up. Macon Speedway cancels car show, and Millikan baseball regroups. Online, visit herald-review.com for a podcast update with the latest Illinois COVID-19 news. Coronavirus state response. Illinois cases increased to 422. Testing in state remains limited. Decatur. Six tests for COVID-19 have been completed in Macon County as of Thursday, with two negative results and four pending. No cases have been confirmed. The state's total of confirmed cases rose to 422, state officials said, and three more people had died. Governor J.B. Pritzker said the growth in positive tests is tied to increased testing by state labs along with private labs and healthcare institutions. More people with symptoms are not currently being tested. The county's crisis communication team reiterated in a statement Thursday that tests are given according to criteria from the Illinois Department of Public Health and Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Testing is not widely available to the general public, the team said in a statement. A spokesperson did not respond to a question about how long the tests typically take or when the pending results might return. Pritzker said more than 1,000 tests were administered statewide on Wednesday, and officials hope to soon increase that to 2,000 tests per day. While schools and many businesses are shut down to prevent the spread of the disease, Pritzker stressed that interstate highways, gas stations, grocery stores, and other essential services will not close as a response to the pandemic. Essential services will not close. Interstates, highways, bridges will stay open, the Chicago Democrat said in his daily afternoon news conference. Grocery stores, pharmacies, gas stations, these sources of fundamental supplies will continue to operate. There is no need to run out and hoard food, gas, or medicine. He said, buy what you need within reason. There is enough to go around as long as people do not hoard. We will never shut these services down. A woman in Sangamon County was among the three deaths announced Thursday. She was a Florida resident who had traveled to Springfield before she began showing symptoms, officials have said. The other three patients who have died are a man in his 50s from Will County and two Cook County women, one in her 80s and one in her 60s. Officials also announced a confirmed case in McLean County, a man in his 70s who was said to be in good condition and treated in isolation. Not enough tests. The state health department said 3,151 had been tested for the coronavirus as of Thursday. Testing criteria outlined on the state health department website says the following patients could be tested. residents or staff who are part of a cluster of two or more possible or confirmed cases in a residential setting that serves more vulnerable populations, such as an assisted living facility, group home, homeless shelter, or correctional settings. Hospitalized patients with unexplained pneumonia, especially from a setting such as a nursing home. For patients who do not meet those criteria, the state said, healthcare providers may decide to proceed with testing at a commercial or hospital lab. Pritzker, who has expressed frustration with the federal government about the lack of available tests, said the number of cases will continue to grow, both because of the availability of testing and because the virus continues to be spread by people who do not know they have it. So we know this is growing substantially. And until there are more and more tests, we will be in this situation of just seeing the numbers rise because the testing is rising, Pritzker said. We hope that there will be a cresting. In some countries in Asia, there has been a cresting because they've implemented some of the measures that we have implemented here. We've done it earlier here, and that doesn't mean that doesn't mean that we're not going to see a lot of cases of COVID-19 and, frankly, more deaths. Dr. Ngozi Nzike, IDPH director, said expansion of private testing labs will allow the agency to continue to target its testing at the most vulnerable populations, such as nursing home patients and the staff that care for them. Pritzker said he called up members of the National Guard to help set up drive-through testing sites, among other logistical and transportation efforts. The Guard is also doing critical work planning for the weeks and months ahead, including expanding our healthcare capacity by potentially refitting and reopening previously closed hospitals, he said. Restrictions may grow. The governor on Thursday also announced temporary tax relief for some bar and restaurant owners and cautioned that a shutdown of schools could last longer than a March 31st scheduled reopen date. I also think that parents should be contemplating the possibility that that might be extended, he said. Pritzker also said the state is evaluating every day as to whether a shelter-in-place order might be necessary. As he said, experts are advising. This is going to take longer than people have expected. Pritzker said the effort is largely aimed at staying ahead of countries like Italy, where there are more than 40,000 confirmed cases and more than 3,400 deaths. Social distancing or staying home remains the most important preventative measure. So when I make decisions about this, this is about how do we operate faster and better than Italy and other countries that have been seeing this grow exponentially for a very long period of time, he said, noting that lack of testing means an increased reliance on mathematicians extrapolating available data over the entire population. And I'm going to continue to listen to the experts to do the right thing, that the triggers are really in what the experts are seeing, he said. Pritzker signed another executive order relaxing insurance rules for telemedicine, which allows patients to see a doctor remotely, such as through a video call. For Medicaid plans and those regulated by the Illinois Department of Insurance, the executive order calls for providers to be reimbursed at the same rate at which they are reimbursed for in-person visits, among other regulatory changes. And another, coronavirus, the local response. New reality. Staying home, staying positive, Decatur. Kathy Briggs doesn't want to put time at home with her daughters to waste. We keep talking about how we are living a major moment in history right now, Briggs said. We're going to start putting together the homeschool work that they've been doing and putting them in a box. The quarantine that resulted from Governor J.B. Pritzker suspending schools and shuttering bars and restaurants for 2 weeks has families coming to terms with days holed up and hunkered down in homes. Some have had jobs disappear. More than 41,000 Illinoisans submitted unemployment claims on Monday and Tuesday, nine times as many during the same 2019 period. The precautionary measures by local businesses and statewide school shutdown are leaving residents either working from home or finding ways to pass the time. You can't dwell for more than a second because it's affecting everyone, said Patty Beatty, owner of the Art Farm in downtown Decatur. She's finding ways to operate her store online and assuming the role of homeschool teacher to daughter Grace, 11. Grace is also encouraged to keep a coronation journal to daily reflect on her ideas. Confronted with having to finding new ways to run her business, becoming a teacher and running a household was immediately shocking, Beatty said. It sucks for everyone across the board, no matter what they're going through in their lives, she said. It's kind of uniting in a way. Briggs and her daughters Becca, 10, Claire, 9, and Lucy, 4, also decided to put together a time capsule to capture their experience while remaining under quarantine. The girls are writing letters to their future selves, and Briggs plans to journal each day so we can remember what was happening at the time, she said. I haven't been out to get a newspaper yet, but I hope to get that in there, she said Thursday morning. Items in the Briggs family time capsule include homeschool assignments and art projects by the girls. Briggs said she hopes to pull it out someday when her grandchildren are learning about the COVID-19 pandemic in history class. Decatur mother Jackie Danberger decided to have her oldest children journal as well, and younger ones read books to her. 9-year-old Michael, one of her 5 children, has been writing his stories and drawing pictures to accompany them. Other time is spent helping them with homework and making crafts. I personally don't foresee them going back this year. I'm prepared for that, Danneberger said. I'm trying to tell the girls and myself to live in this moment. What can we do right now that's going to be the very best? She asked. For most people, the coronavirus causes only mild or moderate symptoms, such as fever and cough. The vast majority of people recover. President Donald Trump's administration Monday said people should avoid social gatherings with groups of more than 10 people. Illinois has had 4 people die from coronavirus. More than 400 have tested positive, a number that's expected to grow as more tests are conducted. For families, the past week has been a period of adjustment. Jennifer Pangaban of Decatur is another parent now working full-time from home. The communication from the school and our teacher has been amazing, Panganaban said. Sorry for the mispronunciation. We're trying to allow for learning opportunities, but they are a bit less traditional. We're trying to build independence and problem-solving skills. Marla Johnson of Mount Zion is using the time to update her will, saying she's prepared ahead of time to gather enough food and necessities for a quarantine. A benefit to staying home is caring for her ex-husband, Johnson said. He's battling 2 cancers and has lung damage from 2 different bacterial pneumonias, she said, so he is very high risk. How long will it last? California schools are likely to be closed for the rest of the academic year, Governor Gavin Newsom said this week. The Mount Zion Schools Superintendent Travis Roundcourt, in a message to parents Thursday, predicted the crisis will continue into the weeks and months ahead. For now, it's wait and see, and trying to find the silver lining. John Shirley, who works in the children's department at Decatur Public Library, spent Thursday monitoring social media for the library and helping Bible translations team in East Africa with their final draft of the Gospel of John. I was behind on that, and now I have long stretches of time to work on it, Shirley said. When the rain stops, I'll ride my bike outside, he said. And the photo accompanying this article shows Kathy Briggs is photographed through the window of her Decatur home helping daughters Lucy, Claire, and Becca on Thursday. The outbreak of COVID-19 has caused families to hunker down. $1 trillion economic rescue plan takes shape. Washington. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell proposed direct payments of $1,200 per person and $2,400 for couples as part of an initial Republican response Thursday to the coronavirus outbreak. The GOP leader unveiled his plan as Congress raced to craft a $1 trillion rescue package to shore up households, health care, and the U.S. economy amid the pandemic crisis and nationwide shutdown that's hurtling the country toward a likely recession. We need to take a bold and swift action as soon as possible, McConnell announced his plan on the Senate floor. It's an opening salvo in the fast-track talks with Democrats as President Donald Trump urges Congress to go big to respond as Americans reel from the crisis. Under the GOP leader's plan, the aid would be phased out at income thresholds of $75,000 for individuals and $150,000 per couple. Additionally, there would be $500 payments for each child. McConnell's proposal aligns with the Trump administration's push to swiftly send a first round of checks to American households for immediate needs. Additionally, the McConnell plan would provide $300 billion in loans to small businesses, including loans that would eventually be given for employers who use them to meet payroll expenses. And page A3, local and state news, Millikan University to remain online through spring, summer. Decision follows lead of colleges throughout Illinois country. Decatur, Millikan University will continue to offer online classes only for the remainder of the semester. An extensive list of online courses will also be available over the summer. The decision follows similar moves by universities across the state and country as they work to contain the spread of COVID-19. Spokesman Dane Lisser said no plans for the fall are in place yet in the hope that things will return to normal by then, but the university will make plans if necessary. The university is evaluating considerations related to room and board costs for those students who have chosen to return home, Lisser said. Millikan will be sending out a follow-up communication related to this matter by April 1st. Students can leave their belongings on campus temporarily, even if they're not returning, he said. Storage rooms will be made available on a case-by-case basis to students who do not want to return but cannot come to campus. Millikan dining services will remain open, but will be altered to serve fewer students with more portable offerings in order to discourage gatherings, he said. Meals will be available 7 days a week through pickup or delivery options. Residence halls will remain open. Students may also choose to return home if they wish. For more information, visit bit.ly/Millikan. Again, that's bit.ly/Millikan. And the pictures here show an empty Millikan campus. Students will not return to in-person classes, and I don't see anybody walking on campus in this picture. And then there's another one. Millikan University's campus is shown empty of students on Thursday. Taylor gets 18 years for murder. Decatur. A man involved in a drug deal where the alleged Decatur dealer was shot to death has been sentenced to 18 years in prison. Cameron T. Taylor, 22, appeared in Macon County Circuit Court March 13th and pleaded guilty to a charge of second-degree murder. The plea was part of a sentencing and plea deal negotiated by his attorney, Caleb Brown, that saw four counts of first-degree murder dismissed. The sentence is day-for-day eligible for credit, and Taylor also received credit for time he spent in the Macon County Jail since his arrest 8 months after the crime, which had occurred the night of January 27, 2018. Decatur police reports about the case described how Nathaniel D. Majors, 22, died after being shot multiple times in his home in the 2000 block of North Graceland Avenue. Detective Timothy Whitmer said Taylor had visited Majors to negotiate the purchase of $1,000 worth of cannabis. Whitmer said Majors' girlfriend had raised the alarm and texted family members after, becoming worried about how long the transaction was taking. A brother of Majors had later arrived at the house to find his sibling mortally wounded. Taylor, picked out of a photo lineup by witnesses, had been sought by police and was found and arrested in Tennessee in August and extradited back to Decatur in February 2018. Hearing cries for help, police react. Decatur. Hearing the sounds of a Decatur woman screaming for help, police smashed their way through her front door and confronted the ex-boyfriend holding her prisoner in her bedroom, a sworn affidavit said. The 20-year-old man was immediately handcuffed and placed under arrest at 3:46 a.m. Wednesday. He was later booked on preliminary charges of unlawful restraint, criminal trespass, and violation of bail bond. All preliminary charges are subject to review by the state's attorney's office. Writing in the affidavit, Decatur Police Officer Jeremy Williams said police were dispatched to the woman's home in the 4700 block of North Martin Luther King Jr. Drive and overheard a male and female having a heated, verbal altercation. Williams said the argument continued and intensified. Upon attempting to knock once more, DPD officers heard the female half inside the residence begin female half inside the residence began to scream something to the effect of stop and no, followed by more screaming. The 19-year-old woman told officers her ex-boyfriend, whom she had dated for 11 months, had earlier walked into her home uninvited and began an argument with her. He physically prevented her from leaving her bedroom and refused to get out of her home, the woman is quoted as telling the police. She stated each time she attempted to exit, he would push her back from the door, Williams said. Three female witnesses, aged 22 and a 19-year-old, corroborated the woman's version of events. Decatur School Board meeting closed to public. Tuesday's meeting limited to essentials. The Decatur Public Schools Board of Education will hold its regularly scheduled board meeting at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, March 24th. The content of the meeting is being limited to only essential agenda items that the board must approve to keep district businesses moving forward. The district said in a statement, "The meeting will be closed to the public as a precaution to protect public health and safety. To align with current federal recommendations for gatherings, in-person attendance at the board meeting will be limited to 10 people. Some board members and members of the administration will participate in the meeting by phone or video conference. Because of audio-visual limitations as a result of this virtual attendance, the district will not live stream the board meeting as it's happening on Facebook Live on Channel 22. However, a video recording of the meeting will be posted at www.dps61.org within 24 hours. The district will accept public comments, which will be read into the public record during the board meeting. If you'd like to submit a comment electronically to be read, please email it to WeListen, that's capital W-E, capital L, I-S-T-E-N, WeListen, at dps61.org. WeListen at dps61.org, no later than 5 p.m. on Monday, March 23rd. Residents can also submit handwritten comments to be read during the board meeting. Drop them off at the Keel Building, 101 West Cerro Gordo Street, through the mail slot in door D on the west side of the building. Again, that's at the Keel Building, 101 West Gordo, Cerro Gordo Street, excuse me, through the mail slot in door D on the west side of the building from the main entrance, no later than 5 p.m. on Monday, March 23rd. All comments must include your name and are limited to approximately 3 minutes of content to be read, the district said. That's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated March 20th, 2020. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.